As we saw in the last time I was here, we were going through the Psalms and we read Psalm 1 and we also read Psalm 2. And Psalm 3 to 41, they are all Psalms of lament. And this psalm is written of David. David wrote this psalm when he fled from Absalom, his son. And this psalm was based on the events that occurred during David's exile. If you read 2 Samuel chapter 15 through 19, you shall see that one of the sons of David, Absalom, he overthrew his father. He betrayed his father. And David had to flee Jerusalem to the wilderness. If you look at 2 Samuel, you shall see that David had subdued his enemies. And God in 2 Samuel chapter 7, that we also expounded to you, God made a promise to David that God would make a covenant with David and his sons would be on the throne in Jerusalem forever. And God told David that God would be a father to his sons. And they would be their son. And here in 2 Samuel chapter 15, because of David's sin with Bathsheba, David's throne is in jeopardy. His son is taking over. He flees to the desert, otherwise, he would be destroyed. And now, as we read the Psalm 3, this is a prayer of a desperate man. This is a song of lament. In verse 1, we can see his desperation. He cries out to God. He says, "Lord, how are they increased that trouble me? Many are they that rise up against me." And all the lament, if you read the lamenting Psalms, you shall see that it begins with a song of lament, a prayer of lament. But the psalmist, he knows that the Lord will not forsake him, not leave him. And usually the Psalms, they end with a song of praise. And the question tonight is, will God keep his covenant with David? Will God abandon David because of his sin, of his backsliding? Will God help David in this difficult, utter difficult situation? And if you read through the verses, you can see that there is this idea of the many against the few. So the psalmist says, "Many there be which say of my soul, there is no help for me in God." So how are they increased that trouble me? So the idea is, our enemies, they are many, they are multitude, and we are few. In Psalm 2, you have the hidden, the kings of the earth, the princes, the rulers. In Psalm 1, you have the wicked, the ungodly, the sinners, and the scornful. So those who oppose the people of God, they are many. And they rise up against us, against the people of God. And they say to us, "There is no help for you in God. Do not put your trust in God," they're saying to us. More than that, they're saying there is no God. Are the enemies correct in saying that God doesn't care? They're saying your God, if he exists, he doesn't care. More than that, they're saying your God is powerless against us. They're not only attacking the psalmist, or they're not only attacking David. More than that, they're attacking God. And we can see this in our days. God is mocked every day in our land, all over the world. They mocked God. They despise God. They hate God. Because they hate God, they hate Jesus Christ, and they hate his church. The word here translated help could also be translated salvation. So they are saying there is no salvation in God. Their questions are, where is your God? I cannot see him. I cannot touch him. Where is he? Look at the state of the church. You are insignificant. You are few with just a few numbers, a few here and there. They're saying to us, you are insane to believe in the Bible. The Bible is just a fairy tale. The enemies of God are saying this to us. They're confronting us. God is only a figure of your imagination. You rely on something that doesn't exist. No one will help you. Your prayers, you're relying on the scriptures, they're all in vain. This is what the world says. But the psalmist says, but thou, O Lord, art a shield for me. The psalmist was not dismayed, not discouraged by all the accusations. Even when his own son betrayed him. And we know that there is nothing more most hurtful and desperate than being betrayed, especially by those close to us. It hurts very deep. David was given a double blow. Not only his son betrayed him, but his best friend, Ahithophel, turned upon him. In Psalm 55, David complains. Verse 12 to 14, the Bible says, deceit and guile depart not from her streets. For it was not an enemy that reproached me, then I could have borne it. Neither was it he that hated me, that did magnify himself against me. Then I would have hid myself from him. But it was thou, a man mine equal, my guide and my acquaintance. We took sweet counsel together, his best friend, and walked to the house of God in company. And you might ask yourself, what should we do? What can we do when our enemies surround us? When our best friend or our family member betrayed us? What shall we do? But thou, O Lord, all of our friends, all of our family, they may betray and may forsake us, but God, he will never betray us. But thou, O Lord, art a shield for me, my glory and the lifter of my head. Despite all the opposition and the apparent defeat, David, if it wasn't for God, he would be defeated, annihilated, The psalmist remains faithful to God. When his enemies were around him, he didn't despair, but he cried out to God. He said, "But thou, O Lord, art a shield to me." The psalmist knew, David knew that God would not abandon him. God will not betray him. God will be faithful. In the same manner, as we face such struggles and tribulations, as we go through this life, we must rest assured that God will not forsake us, nor betray us. God is Emmanuel. God is with us. In the Lord Jesus Christ, we find a faithful, constant friend. We can come to him in prayer. We can come to Christ in the hour of need. We can come to Jesus Christ, and he will be there to give us peace. And peace is not the lack of trouble, but in the midst of tribulation, God is with us. That is peace from above. He is not only any protection. God is not any old protection. He is an all-compassing protection. He will protect us from all sides, in all angles. He is a shield that compasses about. And contrary to his enemies, or to our enemies, would they think that we are finished? We are defeated in their minds. Far from it. God will restore us. Jesus Christ will restore us. Jesus understands our pain. Jesus understands our sorrow. Because Christ, similar to David, Christ was betrayed and forgotten. His disciples abandoned him in Gethsemane. He was betrayed by one of his own. Judas betrayed Christ for 30 pieces of silver. And Christ was alone in his darkest hour on the cross. And he cried out, "My God, my God, why hast thou forsaken?" In Matthew chapter 26, when they go up to the Mount of Olives, in the same manner that David, as he flees from Jerusalem, he goes to the valley and he goes up. And the Bible tells us that as he goes up the mountain, he weeps deeply and he sorrows. In the same manner, Jesus in Gethsemane, he tells his disciples in Matthew chapter 26, then said he unto them, "My soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here and watch with me." And he went a little further and fell on his face and prayed, saying, "Oh, my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt." God comes into our rescue. When we cry out to God in our darkest hour, as verse 4 says, "I cried unto the Lord with my voice." In our darkest hour, we should not look horizontally. We should not look on the size of the enemy. We should not look for help in our fellow friends or our fellow humans, but we should look vertically. We should look up to Christ, and we should cry out to the Lord. And the Bible says that the Lord, he heard me out of his holy hill. Wherever we are in trouble, we must look to that holy hill of Calvary, to Christ on the cross. In Psalm 2, the Lord says in verse 6, "Yet have I set my king upon the holy hill of Zion." The Lord Jesus is established forever on his throne, and we look up unto him, and he will condescend, and he will hear us, and he will help us. The psalmist was so sure that Christ, that God would help him, that he says in verse 5, "I laid me down and slept." In the midst of trouble, in the midst of tribulation, the psalmist have peace. Not a peace that this world can give, but the peace that Christ gives us. "Peace give I to thee, not as the world gives." And we also, in the midst of troubles and tribulation, we can trust that God will come to our rescue. And in this assurance, just like the psalmist, just like David, we can lay down and we can sleep. And we can awake in the morning because the Lord, he sustained us. David was surrounded by his enemies, but he was able to sleep soundly because he knew that the Lord was with him. He is so confident that God will protect him, even if he is outnumbered. In fact, we are not outnumbered. We are majority because we have God on our side. If you have God on your side, you are the majority, not the minority, as the world and those who oppose God thinks. So the psalmist, he understands that the Lord is his protection, his shield. He understands that his enemies surround him, but he understands that the Lord will hear his voice in the day of tribulation. And finally, the psalmist, he is so sure that not only the Lord will come to his help, but the Lord will overcome his enemies, that he says, "I will not be afraid of 10,000s of people that have themselves against me round about." This is military language. The psalmist is saying, even if an army of 10,000s of people, they set themselves against me, yet I shall not be afraid. Why? Because the Lord is with me. The psalmist, he makes a prayer. "Arise, O Lord, Save me, oh my God. The psalmist knows that he cannot force the hand of the Lord, but he knows that if God gets moving, nothing can stop the Lord. No human force on this earth is able to defeat the Lord. As we saw in Psalm 2, the Lord, he sits in the heavens. His throne is established forever. And we should not be afraid as well. Even if we are surrounded by enemies, even if we are serving the Lord alone in a family context or in a work context, we should not be afraid. Even if they pass laws that forbid us to proclaim the gospel, as they are trying to stamp out the gospel in these lands, we should not be afraid. We should not be afraid of the government. We should not be afraid of the tyrants of this world, because the Lord sustained us, and he will sustain us forever. And our prayer tonight is, arise, O Lord, defend thy people. Arise, O Lord, and have mercy upon the United Kingdom. Revive us again. An old hymn says, in the Lord's atoning grief, hear rest and sweet relief. Restore we deep in our heart's recess all the shame and bitterness. Crucified, we adore thee. Thee with all our hearts implore, us with saintly hands unite in the realms of heavenly light. However oppressed, despised, persecuted, forsaken, let the servants of God betake to his mercy and rely on his grace. We should be like the Apostle Paul. We should trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. As we read in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, O death, where is thy sting? The victory is conquered on the cross. We always should have our eyes. We always should gaze upon the Lord Jesus Christ. And finally, Clement of Rome, he says, how blessed and wonderful are the gifts of God.
What?
Life in immortality, splendor in righteousness, truth with boldness, faith with confidence. Father of all the ages, the all-holy one himself, knows their magnitude and beauty. Therefore, let us strive to be found among the number of those who wait, so that we may have a share in the gifts which are promised. Salvation belongeth unto the Lord. Thy blessing is upon thy people. So brothers and sisters, do not be afraid. Do not despair. The Lord is on our side. The Lord is a shield. The Lord is our salvation. We must trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. And we must be assured that he will hear our voice. We must come to the Lord in prayer, as James in his letter says. Elijah prayed, and for 3 years and 6 months it not rain. And Elijah prayed again, and rain came upon the earth. We must be people of prayer. And James also says, the prayer of a righteous availeth much. Only through prayer we will be victorious. There is no other way of coming to the Lord other than prayer. And the Bible says that the Lord hears the prayer of the saints. As David says, I cried unto the Lord with my voice. We must pray. We must pray for ourselves, for our lives. We must pray for those next to us, our family members, especially those who are not saved. We must pray for them, that the Lord may save them. We must pray for community. We must pray for this great city of London. 4.5 million people, they never heard the gospel in this great city of London. Half of the population of this great city, they are lost. They are without hope. They are condemned to hell. We must pray for them. We must pray for this country. As we hear the news of war, the drums of war are sounding again. We must pray for peace, for our leaders, not only for our leaders, for the world leaders, that they may come to their senses. We know that nuclear war is a horrible thing. And we may pray that God have mercy upon us and the Lord may change the minds of the leaders of this world. We must pray, our brethren, and especially we pray for England, that the laws they are trying to pass, our leaders, our politicians, they may understand that no one can stop the gospel. That whatever they are doing, these laws they're trying to pass of conversion therapy, where you will not be allowed to preach the gospel. If you have a son and a daughter, and if you preach the gospel to them, you're going to be arrested. The Bible will become a forbidden book again because of these laws. But we must pray to God, have mercy upon us. Have mercy upon us. Have mercy upon England. Have mercy upon Europe. We must take hold of these words of the psalmist. Arise, O Lord, and save me, O my God. I cried unto the Lord with my voice, and he heard me. If you pray with faith, the Lord will hear you. So the Lord is a sure salvation. There is no other name under the heavens by which we are to be saved. Amen. May the Lord bless us, and may we trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, and we may rest assured that he is on our side. If you are saved, if you have the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, he will save you. He will be with you to the end. And we may look to that great, glorious day when Christ will come in majesty and glory, and he will defeat his enemies once and for all. and we will reign with him forever and ever. Amen.
Amen.